For a part of my life, I was very shy. I was scared to order my food at restaurants. I was scared to make new friends. I didn't want to talk to people. I would even hide in my bedroom because I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go out in the real world. And basically had some level of social anxiety because I feared that I was being judged by others all the time. I feared that I would mess up and say something weird or, you know, whatever in conversation. But over the years, I've gotten a lot better. Now I can actually post myself talking on social media, you know, record this podcast, and I don't have that fear of what others will think like I used to. And now I haven't given social anxiety too much thought since this time frame that I mentioned a few years ago. But then someone requested that I talk about this topic, and it got me thinking. I still do struggle in certain areas, in different social settings, with a little bit of social anxiety, maybe. So in this podcast episode, we're going to talk about some ways that I've overcome social anxiety, some ways that I currently work through it when I feel those feelings come up. This is purely from my own experience and what I've learned the past few years. If you're really struggling with social anxiety, I would definitely say it's great to talk to a professional, like a therapist, someone who can really help you work through those problems. But I thought I would share some things that have helped me and maybe can help you as well. So first, I wanted to talk about, where does social anxiety come from? For a big part of my life, I thought social anxiety was just who I was. You know, I thought that not being able to make friends because I started like choking up and not being able to speak when I saw new people was just like normal, and I thought that was just who I was. But social anxiety can come from different causes. Obviously, you can be more at risk if someone who is related to you has it. You know, you could actually be diagnosed with social anxiety for that reason. But I think something that caused it for me was environmental factors. And I think that's definitely common for a lot of people. You know, you have maybe a bad experience, maybe someone bullies you, and then this causes low self-esteem. And then this causes social anxiety because you, you know, are scared to be in social settings because of that event that happened. Now, see if you can figure out if there was a point in time when you became nervous around other people and started feeling scared to approach people. Is this from a certain event in your life? You know, try to analyze and really understand why you feel that way. So, some events that I can think of specifically is when people would call me names, like say I had like string bean arms, string bean legs. You know, maybe they would say I looked like a llama. I don't know. Whatever kids say, it's just odd. And I know in my life, it was from kind of being like picked on as a kid, whether it was like my looks and people calling me string bean legs or making fun of my lunch. And like what I was eating was healthy, so I had to like sit in the bathroom and eat my food because I didn't want anyone to make fun of me. Like things like that. And that suddenly made me have like very low self-esteem in like maybe seventh grade. I guess even before that though. Yeah, so I was really scared to talk to people from that point on. And it was all because of those environmental causes. And maybe you can't, you know, pinpoint this, and that's totally okay. But overall, we want to remember that, okay, social anxiety is a fear of what others really think. You know, you fear being judged, criticized, or embarrassed in social situations. And I mean, how many times have you felt embarrassed in social situations in a week? I know quite a bit for me. And I'll get to that later in this episode, maybe talk about some embarrassing, awkward situations, or at least situations that I thought were embarrassing. But anyway. So now that we kind of understand like maybe where social anxiety comes from in our life, how do we actually overcome it? Now, I have to say one thing that helps me, whether I want to do it or not, is exposure therapy. That basically means gradual exposure to social settings that can help desensitize you to anxiety triggers. And you know, I don't know where you're starting off. Maybe, like, you don't see anyone for weeks on end. So I'm purely just talking about where I've been and how, you know, I've been able to be comfortable, like, placing an order on my food or, like, give a speech in front of the class, you know, like, things like that. But anyway, back to exposure therapy. So what I did was I started with less intimidating situations, and then I gradually worked my way up. And I didn't really have, like, a systemized way of doing this. I kind of just, like, it just happened in my life. And now looking back, I saw the patterns and how I, you know, was able to overcome that social anxiety. But let's rewind a few years ago when I was just getting into the gym. So going to the gym, I was so scared. I remember the first time I went, I had a mental breakdown in the bathroom. I was just not having it. I was so scared of all the people that could be possibly looking at me, or, you know, the shared space where someone maybe would ask you for something or ask if you were using that machine and you have to answer. Like, that was so frightening to me. And after the first time I went, at first I was like, I'm never going to the gym again. I'm never going out in public. That was so embarrassing. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, I want to push myself. I want to make myself do this. If I don't want to do it, that just means I have to do it even more. So I eased myself into it by going with a friend. And then I went in, like, my little corner where no one could see me in the gym. And every week, a few days a week, I would go, and over time it became not so scary. And then after a year of being at the gym, I was making friends, I was talking with people. Now the problem is, you know, I can't even get through my workout because I'm talking to people, right? So it's just crazy to see how that switched. Now, the same thing happened with martial arts. I started doing martial arts just like private lessons because I was really scared to be in, like, a class with other people. And I was so resistant towards, you know, being in a class with others. And I remember telling my instructor, like, no, like, I'm not ready. Like, I don't want to be a part of the classes. And she, like, kind of just threw me into it. She was like, no, like, it'll be great for you. You know, she kind of, like, pushed me a little bit. And I started going to the classes. I was so embarrassed. Like, anytime anyone asked me a question, you know, if I didn't know anything, I could just feel the cold sweats coming. Oh my gosh, it was so bad. But I got used to it. And here I am, like, over a year later, and, you know, I love going, I love socializing. And so it's crazy seeing how that shift was made just by exposing yourself into it. And I mean, it's not a concept that's hard to wrap your brain around. Obviously, like, you know that saying, do the thing you fear, and the fear and the death of fear is certain. But it's easier said than done. So easier said than done. Now, if we fast forward, you know, to now, I still, like I mentioned, have some maybe anxieties that come up in place in social settings. An example of something recently, well, I guess this is actually within the past year. So basically, where I work, there was someone who was leaving their position, and I was going to be promoted, basically. Now, this promotion involved me talking to patients on a whole different level. So I work at a natural medicine clinic, and, you know, although I know a lot about health and have been raised in it my entire life, I was still very nervous to have that responsibility. So I was very scared, to say the least. And I remember just telling myself, okay, all you have to do is do it this one time, you know? And I would keep telling myself anytime I had to go over a nutrition plan with a patient or a payment plan, I would just tell myself, okay, just this time, like, you got it. And each time, yes, maybe some points were a little bit awkward and maybe I messed up a few words, but every time I got through it, I said, okay, you got through that one. Now you can do one more. It was just that one more mindset, like, okay, one more call, one more patient, you know? And so fast forward a year later, I still can get nervous talking to patients because maybe they ask a question I don't know, or maybe they're, like, asking a lot of questions and maybe they're a little bit annoyed, you know, maybe something is going on in their life and they are kind of putting their feelings on to me. So I have to learn, okay, how do I say, what do I say in this circumstance? And what do I have to think about it quickly on the spot? But without this exposure, I would never learn how to deal with these social situations. Like, yeah, I could have someone else do it for me, but let me just push myself a little bit and, you know, expose myself to the things that I don't really want to do. And now, in the moment with exposure therapy, there are some things that can help us in the process. Number one is praying. You can pray in that moment and, you know, ask God to give you the strength to do maybe that speech that you have to give or whatever it is. And also, like, meditate on his word. So I know for me, a form of meditation I've been doing when, you know, anxieties come up, whether it's social anxiety or something else, or just every day I've been trying to do this. So I'll just sit or lay down, close my eyes, and I'll envision myself being on the beach. Now, I envision the beach because that is where I feel like really close to God. I mean, you could also do the mountains, but I will envision the beach and I'll envision myself kind of walking with Jesus on the beach and not really saying anything, just taking it all in. So I'll think about the five things that I can hear, the five things I can see, five things I can smell, five things I can touch, and five things I can taste. And I think about all of that, you know, in these surroundings that I'm in while I'm visualizing this image or picture in my brain. And I don't really know how long I do this for, but I kind of just, you know, take deep breaths. I know there's different guided meditations too that you can do that are like biblically focused, but that's just something that I know works for me. Also reading scripture and then meditating on like one verse, one specific verse, and just like repeating that in your mind. Just really focusing on the Lord during the times that can be a little bit anxiety provoking. And then another thing I'll do with exposure therapy is remind myself how insignificant these things are that we worry about. Not to, you know, say your feelings aren't valid, but any little awkward or embarrassing situation you have, think of the grand scheme of things. Is that person really going to remember? And if they do remember, it's probably not going to make much of a difference. And if we're looking eternally minded, like setting our mind to the things not of this world and eternal things, if we think about Colossians 3:2, where it says, set your mind on things above, not earthly things. If you think about it, being embarrassed in like an awkward situation and, you know, fearing that is something that's very earthly. And that emotion is fleeting, like it's going to go away. And so that's something we just have to remind ourselves. And then something that I will also do if I'm, you know, really getting worked up about some social interaction, maybe it's like a speech or whatever it may be, I'll visualize myself doing it beforehand. So like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do if it doesn't go well? Like, I'll visualize that in my mind and I see the steps I'm going to take. Like, okay, I'm going to walk up there. I'm going to start, you know, with the introduction. I'm going to go through this speech. I'm going to, you know, feel great. And then I'm going to walk off and things are going to be great. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a summarized version, but you're just seeing that in your mind and kind of hyping yourself up for it in a way, but also being prepared if things don't go so great. You're also seeing that side where you're like, okay, like if things don't go so great, that's okay. I can learn from it. And you can visualize that as well. Now, another thing besides exposure therapy is analyzing things. So social anxiety is driven by emotions so much that sometimes we cannot see the logical side of things. So the past 2 weeks, like I mentioned earlier, I decided to analyze the awkward, anxiety-filled social interactions I've had. Now, I wouldn't really say like so much anxiety went into this, but it was kind of just like, I was like, Adriana, oh my gosh, like you can never speak to anyone again. Like, this is so awkward. Why did you say that? Why did you have to do that? Oh my gosh. Like, things like that. Because like I said, not nearly as scared as I used to be, but I still get embarrassed sometimes, and then I get mad at myself. But looking back at these situations the past week, maybe I should say a few. I don't know. They don't even make sense because it's like, okay, Joanna, why is that awkward? Like, that's not that awkward. There was one where I was at the gym and this older lady like gave me a compliment. She's like, are you training for something? Like, that's so awesome. You're so strong. Like, good for you being at the gym. And when people compliment me, I want to compliment them back because I'm like, that's so sweet. Like, you know, I want to compliment them back. So I was like very unexpectedly, I was very taken off guard when she came over to me because like I was in the zone. And so when she like compliments me, I was like, oh yeah, good for you being here too. And then I saw there was like some brace on her knee and I was like quickly transitions into, oh, what'd you do to your knee? And like, I don't know, I felt so awkward in that moment because I was like, why did you just ask some random lady like what she did? Like, that's kind of awkward. And I was like, I don't know why I was so awkward by that. Like, after that interaction, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so awkward. And she was totally nice about it, you know? She was like, oh yeah, I just, you know, it flares up sometime and the brace helps me. But like, it was so awkward to me. And I wrote that down after and I kind of thought about it. I'm like, that really isn't awkward. Like, why did I think that was so bad? And so it's things like that where like I really beat myself up about it after. And then I realize, is it really that big of a deal? I'm like, no, not really. So anyway, I could go on and on about the stories that I've deemed awkward, but you'd probably get really bored because you'd be like, Adriana, this isn't actually embarrassing. Though I will say a really, oh my gosh, this is a very embarrassing story. And this one, like, oh, this was hard to recover from. This was like, oh my gosh, Adriana, why did you? It wasn't that bad, but okay, let me start. So I was at the airport and I wanted to get burgers at the airport. And my boyfriend wanted them too. So we were like, okay, we're just gonna like share one because we're both not that hungry. So we're just gonna like share one. So we went up to the cash register thing and I placed my order. And then you know how they like flip the little thing around to you that says like tip. And then it says the amount, like 10%, 15%, you know that? So he flips the thing over to me and I can't really see. Like the screen is so blurry and I don't know if it was my eyesight or what it was, but I didn't see where it said like 10%, 15%, or actually, I don't even think it says 10% anymore, but it was like 15%, 20%, 25 or like custom or whatever. And I didn't see that. All it said was like custom tip or no tip. And I thought I clicked, you know, like custom tip, but I clicked no tip because I couldn't see. And so it was like, thank you for your order. And I was like, oh shoot, this is not good. And I was so embarrassed, like right then and there. And then this guy said, I think he was trying to be funny. He was like, oh, we also take kidneys. And I was like, what? And I didn't really laugh. I was like, okay. I literally just said, okay. Because I wasn't even registering it because I just realized that like I didn't tip him. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. Like, is he going to sneeze in my food? I was kind of freaking out here. And so then, you know, he hands me this receipt. And then in the receipt, it says add tip or and then total. And so I'm like trying to think like, oh, maybe I can like write in the tip right here. And so my brain completely blanked out. I forgot how to add. Like, did not know how to add a couple dollars to this order. Absolutely no clue. And then I'm like, I can't pull my calculator out because then he's going to think I'm dumb. And I'm just standing here. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. I'm like, this is why, like, I should not have just gotten anything from the airport. I should have brought my own snacks, which I did, but I ate them all. Anyway, in this moment, I was really freaking out. And then I just, like, didn't write anything. I just wrote the total. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? And then I saw, like, the tip little jar at the in the on the front of the little counter. And then I turned around and asked my boyfriend awkwardly, like, oh, do you have cash? And he's like, no, like, I don't have cash. And he didn't know why I was asking him, but anyway, then I awkwardly walked away and like felt so bad. And I like ran to the bathroom and like sat there and like contemplated my life's decisions. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward. Like, I felt so bad. And then I was like, maybe I should go back and tip him. So I was like kind of trying to search like for cash in my wallet. And I just didn't have any. And I was like, oh, shoot, this is awkward. I'm like, it's going to be more awkward if I go up to him. Anyway, then the burger came and I didn't want to eat it because I was like, what if he poisoned it? You know, probably wasn't the case. I had like a few bites and I was fine, you know. But anyway, and then our flight boarded. So I was like, okay, I can't go back and tip him. But anyway, that was really awkward. But something that has helped me when I write these down, you know, these awkward interactions, is realizing what I can do better in the future. What I could do better is, you know, if I accidentally click no tip, I can then say, oh, I forgot, I accidentally clicked the wrong thing. Like, I can tell the person at the cashier, like, oh, can you help me go back so I can put in a tip? You know what I mean? But my brain just was so flustered that I couldn't think to even do that. So writing these experiences down can, number one, help you realize that they're not so awkward. And then number two, maybe if they are really, really embarrassing and you're like kind of mad at yourself, then you can see, okay, what can I do better next time? And, you know, this is increasing your self-awareness. So allowing you to reflect on those past social interactions, you know, and identify patterns too. You know, by documenting multiple social situations, you can understand what makes you have anxious thoughts. You know, maybe you can notice reoccurring self-talk. Maybe you keep saying like, oh, you're so stupid, you're so dumb, like something like that. And that makes you have more anxiety. And then when you write down your thoughts or feelings of that social interaction, this can help you identify irrational or exaggerated beliefs. And then you can challenge these beliefs and replace them with something that's more rational and balanced. You know, instead of me saying to myself, oh, you're so stupid, you couldn't even add the tip, you didn't even know how to do basic math, I could be like, okay, I was flustered and I was a little bit overwhelmed. Next time I know what I can do. So it's just things like that, understanding where you're coming from, showing yourself grace. And then also giving yourself a little push in that direction to be like, oh, I gotta go force myself to talk to this person. Maybe you haven't seen anyone in weeks because of social anxiety. So make it a goal to reach out to one person a week or to, you know, go and say hi to someone in the gym or ask someone a question at the grocery store. You know, like just challenging yourself. And I know it's super hard, so maybe you can even find someone to help keep you accountable. But just making yourself do the things that you don't want to do. Because once you do the thing you fear, the death of fear is certain. And if you do it enough times, that fear will be put to death, hopefully. Although it still comes up time to time. But we just keep learning, we keep growing, and we can understand, you know, how to really eliminate the overwhelming anxiety that we have. So anyway, I hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you can gain something from this week, whether you're struggling with social anxiety or maybe you just wanted to learn about my life a little bit and my stories. If you did like this podcast episode, be sure to leave a rating and follow the podcast. And if you have any questions or like want to connect over social anxiety, DM me at adriana.refrano. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, any questions you have. But yeah, other than that, I thank you so much for listening. And I hope that this week we can really challenge ourselves in social interactions so we can truly create a life that we love.